Welcome to this 12 plus meeting. I will say it's a pleasure to meet you, but it is not true because it's not in person. But of course, it's important to be together in this virtual meeting as it is possible during these times. Thank you so much for joining us in this 12-plus meeting. We had this meeting as approved last week. Just to, it will be very short, I think, and very precisely, just with one point in our agenda, the election of the candidate of the 12-plus group to the IPU presidency. As you know, the deadline for the presentation of candidates ended yesterday, and until now, we just have the new of four candidates, and two are from the 12-plus, and we decided to have a meeting, try to find who will have the support of the group as a whole. Thank you so much for joining this meeting. And I need to say also that next week we'll have another meeting. So this is every Monday we will join during these times of pandemics. And next week we have an agenda with extra points to discuss the Governing Council and to elect the chairperson of the 12-plus. We received three candidates to the election of the chairperson of our group. First, a colleague from Netherlands, then a candidature from Belgium, and finally another one from Greece. We will do it next week as preview in our statutes. Before that, I will try to find, as a chair, a conversation with the three candidates to explain how I will do it, to answer all the questions, and try to find a peaceful way to organize the election of the chairperson of the 12-plus. To have this meeting, I will give the floor to Cecilia, our colleague from Switzerland. It was decided that as I am a candidate, I will not share the meeting. Thank you so much, Cecilia, for your help. It was something essential in this process, your participation and your work. Thank you so much. And please, so from now, you will have the leading of all the meeting. Thank you, Cecilia, for joining us, and you have the floor, and also not just the floor, you have the right to share the meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Duarte, and thank you everyone for giving me the trust to chair today's meeting once again. I hope this meeting will be in good spirit and with open discussion, and of course conclude a process that we have started now as a group. Just a short reminder, catch up. On the October 6th, the 12-plus group decided with large attendance to two things. First, to send a letter to the IPU to ensure that the rotation system process for presidency in the IPU will continue and that it will be upheld. In short term, we ask the IPU to have a video conference with the chairs of the regional group to actually discuss this before the Governing Council. In the long run, we will ask the Executive Committee to discuss the rotation system and how it is set in the statutes, if it needs to be much clearer, and also how it will be conducted in the future. I have co-signed this letter since Mr. Duarte is a candidate and I know it will be as a concern for the IPU this coming week. Number two, we decided to elect within the 12 plus a preferred candidate from us. That is how we see we better have a larger chance to win the president race in November. And that we will do today and also after that campaign and try to get this candidate elected in November. That was the last meeting and that was what we decided on. So now for today's meeting, I have today asked both candidates, Ms. Zelma and Mr. Duarte, to have 7 minutes each to their disposal so we can listen and learn about their visions and ideas. I will then open up the floor and ask you to have questions and comments for the candidates. And please do it shortly and as short as you can, since we have this limited time together. When the list of speakers is due and I close the list, we will then conduct a vote. Today we have 43 registered countries that are joining us during this time. And hopefully all of you are going to conduct a vote later on today. I will when I have concluded the list of speakers, ask for a voting time of 20 minutes. 20 minutes. And in the end of those 20 minutes, I will, of course, ask the technicians to see that there are a high percentage of people that have voted, of course. If needed, I will extend those 20 minutes. If not needed, I will end the voting after those 20 minutes. And after that, we have a result. The technician will send me the result, and I will make it clear for you as soon as I have it up here. And that is how I see the process today, to be open and clear and transparent for all of us and in good spirit all together within the 12 plus. Thank you for that. I will now first give the floor to the candidates. And I, of course, give the floor first to Ms. Zelma. Your 7 minutes is yours. Please, Zelma, welcome.
Thank you. And a good morning to everyone. And for Canada, it's a very early morning. It's still dark outside. So I want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share my vision and experience with all of you today. My work in the Senate of Canada has spanned over a decade and included position as Vice Chair of the Senate Human Rights Committee and member of the Standing Committee of Foreign Affairs, International Trade, Finance, Banking, Aboriginal Peoples, Fisheries and Agriculture. I have a strong history of involvement through the Canadian group of the IPU. As a rapporteur for the IPU Standing Committee of Democracy and Human Rights, I took the lead in drafting a report on the role of parliaments in assisting women and children's access to health services. The report was unanimously adopted in a landmark resolution on maternal, newborn, and child health at the 126th Assembly. I was the only parliamentarian to speak at the World Health Assembly in Geneva on this topic in May of 2011. I have also held positions through the IPU as Goodwill Ambassador for Maternal and Newborn Child Health, as a member of the executive of the Bureau of Women Parliamentarians, and on the EXCOM, where I headed the first ever subcommittee on finance that was initiated by my asking for a reduction in member country fees. I presently serve as chair of the IPU committee on the Middle East questions. I believe strongly in the values and the ideals of the IPU, and I'm deeply honored by this opportunity. My priorities as president of the IPU center on four areas: human rights and gender inequity, climate action, access to education, and parliamentary diplomacy. My first area of priority would be human rights and gender inequity. As the incoming chair and outgoing chair of the Senate Human Rights Committee, I have worked to uphold the principles of human rights within Canada by leading studies on cyberbullying, women in Afghanistan, government workers in developing countries, and Syrian refugees. I have also tabled bills on organ trafficking and cluster munitions. As parliamentarians, we must continue our work to protect human rights globally, especially amongst vulnerable groups. I believe strongly that it is time to end the practice of child marriages. Young girls married before the age of 18 are more likely to experience violence from their partner and suffer from health problems and psychological issues. Childbirth remains the leading cause of death for girls aged 15 to 19 worldwide. Save the Children projections show that up to 2.5 million girls are at risk of child marriage over the next 5 years because of COVID-19. We must address child marriage now more than ever. We must also consider how, as parliamentarians, we can work to improve gender equity by not only considering discrimination, but addressing the root causes through focused policies and programs. Secondly, one of my priorities as IPU president will be climate action. One of the most pressing dilemmas that we are facing currently is increased climate shocks such as flooding and drought. Decreasing access to fresh water is also a growing concern, with many countries already struggling with water shortages. As government officials and policymakers grapple with the implications of climate change, implementing mitigation strategies in a timely manner is necessary. I believe combined efforts to address these concerns is crucial. There's an important opportunity for parliamentarians to share learnings on how their governments are working to mainstream climate action in their policies. Next, my vision includes a focus on access to education. Ensuring access to education for children and adolescents, especially those who are disenfranchised, is essential. This requires not only providing physical access to affordable schools, but also addressing the factors such as poverty that force so many children to drop out of school. COVID-19 has only made the situation more dire, as it has led to many children being temporarily removed from school. Save the Children estimates that as many as 10 million children may never return to school. The final area I would like to focus on is parliamentary diplomacy. When we consider the multiple areas of tension in our world today, it becomes clear that there has never been a greater need for the IPU. I believe strongly that what the IPU does best is encourage dialogue between countries. I also hope to support the IPU's continued work to strengthen the role of parliaments globally. We must continue to vigorously defend the rights of parliamentarians around the world. When parliamentarians face harassment or the threat of physical harm, they're unable to speak effectively for the people they represent. The IPU has been a champion for the rights of parliamentarians, and I would be honored to continue that fight. As I conclude, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the difficulty of this current moment. This is a period of unprecedented crisis where people globally are struggling with uncertain times brought about by COVID-19. One of the key takeaways that this challenge illustrates is the degree to which we are all bound together as human beings on this planet. I believe that the crisis we are in confirms once again the central role that we have as parliamentarians in our respective nations to foster a common understanding of the need for global unity. This was, after all, a core objective of the small group of parliamentarians who founded our organization nearly a century and a half ago. Our vision is a world where every voice counts, where democracy and parliaments are at the service of people for peace and for development. We're in a period where the IPU is divided and many groups have become disillusioned with our mandate, as we have seen recently. As president of the Middle East Committee, I have experience navigating sensitive political issues and will use this experience to unite the IPU with the goal of collectively addressing the challenges that we are all facing. I believe this is an objective which we must urgently recommit ourselves to. With that in mind, I would like to thank you again for the opportunity to share my vision with you today and hope to gather your support to serve as the president of this union.
Thank you very much, Ms. Salma, for those 7 minutes. It was perfect in timing. And now over to Mr. Duarte. The floor is yours. 7 minutes, please.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Salma. It's a pleasure to see you. Dear friends, I was a child when the revolution happened in Portugal and that put an end in a dictatorship. It was a wonderful times. We lived there very intensely. And I never will forget this day. Then, as a teenager, I had the amazing experience of the consolidation of democracy in Portugal. And that left a real mark on me, both as a politician and as a person. Respect for the values of democracy, the rule of law, freedoms, respect for others, regardless of their political issues, religion or sexual orientation. This is something that I fully take on my parliamentarian life. Over the course of 29 years as a member of Parliament, I have always tried to do my best to represent those who voted for me and to dignify the Assembly of the Republic, especially in the Bureau of the Assembly, where I have been for 24 years elected by my peers via secret bullet. I have been part of the delegation of the Assembly of the Republic to the IPU for about 18 years. I think you know very well how I always have given everything to serve IPU in several functions. I have been involved in committees as a vice chair of the first committee. I have been member of the drafting committee. I have been internal auditor 4 times elected by the governing council. I have been panelist in global or regional conference. And I have added the delegation of the Portuguese Parliament to the IPU since 2015. Today, I know the strengths and the weakness of our organization like few others. Over the past 4 years, I have been the honor of leading our geopolitical group, where with exemption and inclusion, and always seeking a consensus, I have tried to further strengthen the values we defend inside IPU, always striving to achieve the required balances with the other geopolitical groups. At this point, and when it has been 15 years since our group presided over the organization, I decide to accept this challenge. Yes, I am a candidate to the presidency of IPU. I am a candidate, firstly, because I believe in our organization, in defending multilateralism, in IPU intense action to strengthen the role of women and young people in politics, and the role of parliamentarians to solve global problems like poverty or climate change. Secondly, because I want to have a more dynamic IPU, I am not satisfied with the current IPU. I wish IPU with more visibility and more transparency. And thirdly, because I believe I am the one who in our group is best able to achieve this victory with extensive support in Latin America, Africa, Arab countries, and Asian continent. But my friends, this will not be a victory of Duarte. I wish this victory to be a victory for all of us and the values we have in common. And that is why I know I will be very happy to have your support. I know I can count with you. We, together, we will be stronger. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Duarte, for those words, and that was also in those excellent 7 minutes. And thank you both, candidate, now for your vision and your words. And I will now open up the floor for the group to have comments, questions, and so forth. So please, let's start with that. And I'll see, we first have from Germany. No, we didn't. Yes, we do, from Germany. Mr. Ulrich, please, the floor is yours.
Hello, Cecilia. Hello, Salma. Hello, Duarte. It's wonderful to see you again. I hope you hear me as well. And I would like to know of both of the candidates, what are your plans for the cooperation with the Young Board, which I belong to. The Young Board had a wonderful cooperation with our president, Gabriella. And what are your plans for the cooperation with the young people in the IPU? And on the other side, I would like to know what you think about the ongoings between the Secretary General and our President and all the fight between the both of them, and especially about the point that she is not able to report to all of us on the next summit of the IPU.
Thank you very much from Germany. That was Ulrich. If it's okay with the candidates now, I will have two people ask questions and then comments from both of you. So we save a little time by that. So now it's time for Austria and Mr. Reinhold, please, the floor is yours and then over to both candidates.
Yeah, Cecilia, thank you very much for your work. I have one concrete question. Salma and Duarte, if you lose, do you support the winner of our group or do you run for your own? This is my concrete question. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reinhold, for that. And over to Ms. Salma, please, for those three questions.
Thank you very much. You know, Germany asked about the young parliamentarians. I have been very, very supportive of young parliamentarians, and I feel that we need to have young voices amongst us, because after all, these are the future leaders, and we have to make spaces for them, and we have to encourage them to put their names forward and to be in the parliaments, and you know, that's and that's where we can help them and guide them and mentor them. And I think it's important because we're, you know, the young people bring fresh ideas, and we need fresh ideas. Sometimes it's slightly older people where, you know, looking at things in the same way. So when you have young people come, look at, you know, the new ideas. Regarding the conflict between the Secretary General and the current president, it's unfortunate. I am one who believes in building consensus and trying to work together. So, I mean, and when I say that the IPU is divided, I was referring to that. And I'm hoping that, you know, and I'm sure Duarte and myself both, we've been with the IPU for so long, we recognize the importance of working together and not against each other. To Austria's question, you know, it's very interesting. I think you know, we pride ourselves on democracy, and we're always preaching democracy to everyone else in the world. And yet, as a 12-plus group, we would like to have one candidate withdraw. I don't think that is fair. I don't think that's a fair process. So that's my question to that.
Thank you, Ms. Selma. And Mr. Duarte, please.
Thank you so much for the questions, dear colleagues. In many issues, you will not find some difference between me and Salma, because we are in the same group, we defend democracy and same values. So I think that we have a lot of things in common, more in common than something that we may disagree. Of course, the participation of young people is essential. I was elected with 25 for the first time to the parliament. And I know that the projects and the energy I had on that time is different from I have now. It's natural. And so the worries of the people, of the elected people as well, when we are in positions in government or in parliament is completely different. And if we wish to create a better world with future, we need to attract young people to politics. We need to attract young people to the parliaments, to be parliamentarians, because they will bring new things, new worries, new ideas, and is essential. And everything IPU may do about it, I think we'll have the support of the presidency. And also, the fight between the Secretary General and the President was not something that may happen in our organization. Of course, we may not agree in everything, but we need to create consensus, to create bridges, to go ahead. We don't need to lose energy to fighting between ourselves. We need to lose energy to fight the problems of the world, not between ourselves. And so I will do everything to have a great cooperation with the Secretary General and with the Secretariat, because just together we can improve our IPU. And finally, a very interesting question. I will say, of course, in our rules, there is nothing about it. But if both candidates disagree on have an agreement, may I say, a personal agreement, that if we lose inside our group, we will withdraw, I will accept this. But we need to be accepted by both, of course. I prefer to go ahead with the support of my group. If my group will not support me, I will not have the same happiness fighting for this presidency, because I wish to have the confidence of my group. But of course, to withdraw and to give you my my word, word of honor, I will need to have the same from Salma. If she do the same, I will assume this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Duarte, for that. And now I give the floor to two more people to ask questions. And first is to Turkey and Ms. Razva, and then after that is UK and Ms. Harriet. So first over to Turkey, please.
Hello, good morning, good early morning to those who are for whom it's very early, and afternoon, good afternoon to the rest of us, and nice day to everybody. My question is, following up from the previous question, when I learned about IPU, it was a long time ago, but after becoming a member of parliament, I realized that not even members of parliament know much about IPU. What do you suggest we do in order to make sure that IPU as an international organization, one-of-a-kind organization that was established way before the United Nations, how can we make it more active in the international arena? How can we make it more recognized and more known? Because we are the representation of most of the population of the world. That's one of the questions. Second one is following up from the previous question. What makes IPU different from the other organizations like the UN is because it's a parliamentary organization. And what I saw from the from the conflict between the Secretary General's office and President's office last term. And I guess that was something that happened before the last president as well. That was the case. How do you suggest, I mean, who should be running, who should be number one of this organization? Since it's not a bureaucratic organization, it's a parliamentary organization. If there were to, how do you separate the duties of the presidency with the duties of the General Secretariat, keeping in mind that this is a parliamentary organization? Thank you so much.
Thank you from Turkey and over to Great Britain. And Ms. Harriet, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for your two presentations. I enjoyed both of them, and I would like to thank you on behalf of the UK delegation, both of you, for putting your names forward for the presidency of the IPU. And I sincerely hope that geographic rotation will apply on this occasion, and that one of you will become the next president of the IPU. You will recall in our previous meeting, when we discussed this meeting, that there was a question that I posed that wasn't really answered during the session, which was, what is the mathematical change in the probability of the 12 plus winning the presidency if we field one candidate versus whether we field two candidates? And I think we did not get a clear answer in that session. And I commissioned some research from the UK Parliament House of Commons Library, which showed actually that having 50% of the candidates in the field as opposed to 33% of the candidates in the field actually gives the 12 plus group a better chance mathematically, all other things being equal. And it's quite a big difference and therefore quite a big headwind to overcome if we were to only field one candidate. So I just wanted to make the point, will we have a vote before we choose a candidate on whether or not we actually want to go ahead with deciding between the two of you? If not, because I think the UK would vote no to that particular vote. And if we are going to choose between two candidates, then I just wanted to say that from the point of view of the UK, we would prefer to abstain on that. We would favour both candidates going forward to the full vote of the whole IPU. Thank you.
Thank you from UK. And I will start by clarifying what we decided on last week. So we don't need candidates to do that. On the last meeting on October 6, we actually decided to vote for a preferred candidate on the meeting today. Even though already you raised the question then about the mathematics, a clear majority on that meeting with very high attendance saw the higher possibility of a winning strategy to favor one candidate. And that's why we have this meeting today. But I of course, hear what you say. And I also heard that the UK then will abstain in today's voting. Now over to the candidates for the questions from Turkey and, of course, from the UK. I start with Mr. Duarte this time and then over to Selma.
Thank you. First, most easy question. Thank you to your colleagues for your questions. The number one of the organization is the president. I think we are a parliamentarian organization and the so, who should be the number one? Needs to be the president, because the president is a parliamentarian. And the Secretary General is elected between parliamentarians, but is not a parliamentarian, and so they need to cooperate to put in practice the vision we approve to the organization, but the number one needs to be the president, of course. And about how is it possible to give more visibility to the organization? First of all, I think that we need to have core issues inside our organization. It is not possible to discuss everything, because if we try to discuss all the matters, education, economics, science, conflicts, everything, we will spray our efforts, and we need to concentrate. And we need also to concentrate when we have our special meetings and special committees, because the committees are very important, not just the assemblies, but the permanent committees. They can have an active role to give visibility to the organization. They may organize field visits. If there is a conflict about migration, we need to put it on the table in our first worry and not to discuss other issues that may be important, but they are not on the mind of the people. They are not on TV. They are not a real worry now. If we join parliamentarians from all continents to discuss issues that are important, but they are not in the front line of the worries of the people, we never will have the visibility we wish. Second, I think we may try, everyone, all of us, to try to have a report of our activities inside our parliaments. When we finish our assembly, we may try to present it to the speaker or to make a special speech during the plenary assembly to give visibility inside our countries to the conclusions of our meeting, as it happened when we had meetings of the prime ministers or presidents of the European Union, for instance. So it's something, of course, it will not depend of IPU, it will depend of which of us inside our parliament, but if you combine, if you agree in a common strategy to give visibility inside our parliament, it should happen and it can work all together. And finally, one or two candidates. I don't have the answer, but I think always that if we have more than one candidate, and if we don't concentrate this in one candidate, we never know if we need a second round, and if to the second round we'll have the other candidates from the other geopolitical groups, and we will die near the beach. So I think is the best thing to do is to concentrate in just to have one candidate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Duarte. And over to Ms. Selma, please. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. So in response to Turkey's question on the IPU not being that well known and not having that high a profile, that how do we do that? I think we as parliamentarians, we need to speak about the IPU. And I've always done that. When I've gone to an IPU assembly, I have always come back to the Senate of Canada and done a statement on the work that the IPU does. You know, we table all our reports after every assembly. We have many platforms available to us. We have the social media. Most of us have huge followings on social media. We can put the word out and talk about some of the work that the IPU does. And, you know, talking about just concentrating on a few issues, the IPU has, you know, worked on many, many issues for many years, whether it's, you know, parliamentary diplomacy, whether it's empowerment of women, whether it's on human rights. And it continues to do that work really well. So I hope that some of the core work that the IPU does, I hope they'll continue to do that. The other thing is the conflict between, you know, the current president and the secretary general. It has been a difficult time for the IPU. When you're trying to work and trying to get ahead, it is hard. And like Duarte said, you know, the president was elected. She's a parliamentarian. This is an organization of parliaments. However, the secretary general has a different role. They sort of look at the day-to-day workings of that. So the head, of course, because it's a parliamentary association, but it would be good. And as has been till very recently, they have both worked very well together. And I think Duarte and me would both agree that, if either one of us were in that position, we would make every effort to build consensus and, work towards the betterment of IPU. Because when there's conflict, then people are so consumed by that conflict that somehow what they're supposed to be doing, kind of falls on the wayside. I thank UK for their intervention. And I think Harriet gave a very powerful message that, there was a simple math, two candidates, 33%, and one candidate, 50% chance. And I think that is very powerful and speaks for itself. Two candidates, it was, you have more chance of winning if you have two candidates, because then they get 50% support. And with one candidate, it's 33%. So I thank Harriet for that, because I remember she asked that question and nobody had an answer. So I'm glad she got an answer for us.
Thank you very much, Ms. Selma. And we have two more speakers. First, over to Cyprus, and Mr. Averoff. Please, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon to everyone. Today, we actually implement our decision in order to have a winning strategy, better chances, our group to have only one preferred candidate. And we are here today with our votes to decide who will be our preferred candidate. And I would like to express what I believe. In order to have a winning strategy, I consider very important that whatever the result of the election within the 12-plus group is, we want the commitment of the two candidates that will, and especially the candidate that will lose today's election, we work for the candidature of the elected member of the 12-plus group. This will enable us to work as a whole with a common campaign for the election of our elected member. I think that with this clarification, I believe that we'll have the new president of IPU from our group. Thank you.
Thank you. From Cyprus and over to the Netherlands, and Ms. Arda, please. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. And thank you both candidates for putting yourselves up for a presidency. And it's going to be interesting times. Unfortunately, many parliamentarians at this point in this world are being harassed, prosecuted, and even wrongfully imprisoned. And I think that one of the most important tasks that we have as an IPU is to make sure that human rights in general, but especially of the parliamentarians, are being restored. We have this unique group, the Committee on the Human Rights of Parliamentarians. And I would like to ask either of you, what are you going to do to make sure that the outcome of this committee is being pursued and that rights are being restored, even in those difficult times as we have with the COVID-19 crisis? Thank you.
Thank you very much for those two questions from Cyprus and Netherlands. And now over to Ms. Selma to answer those questions, please.
Thank you. I respect, the view that Cyprus respect. I thank them for that. And I would like to talk about the human rights of parliamentarians. That's one of the most important committee that the IPU has. currently, I think there's over 488 parliamentarians whose cases are, you know, who are being harassed or who have been imprisoned or who have had their freedoms curtailed. And, you know, I'm a strong believer in the work that this committee does. In fact, IPU is the only organization that will speak on the human rights of parliamentarians. It's incredibly important work. And, you know, and I show much gratitude to the people who are on this committee, because at every IPU conference, they're locked up for 3 days because they're looking at every cases and they're coming out and they're talking about it and they're highlighting these cases. And, you know, we can't slip up, even though this time of COVID, you know, the harassment of parliamentarians, the imprisonment of parliamentarians continues. And as, you know, being from some of the great democracies, you know, we have to stand up and speak when we see something wrong is being done, and especially when it's fellow parliamentarians. We have to support them in any way that we can.
Thank you, Ms. Selma. And over to Mr. Duarte.
Thank you so much. Of course, as I said before, I am completely available to support Salma if she obtained the support of the 12 plus. The most important thing for our group is to have a president from our group, because I know that our values, our common values, will be defended inside the presidency of the organization. And I believe that Salma will do the same if I win this this contest here in 12 plus. About the Committee of Human Rights of Parliamentarians, this is the core of the organization, may I say. Of course, we defend democracy. We defend democracy, the state of law, human rights, everything. But if we don't defend our colleagues in Europe or in Africa or in Latin America or in Asia, I don't know where, I don't care. So, for what are we doing? The essential is to promote the democracy, is respecting the results and the respect of the human rights of parliamentarians. They have different political opinions, gender orientation, religion. We don't care. If they are elected, they need to be defended. And IPU should give the floor to all the parliamentarians that don't have voice inside their countries because their human rights are not defended. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those answers. And I have right now three more speakers on the list. I have Portugal, I have Switzerland, and I have France. I'll first give the floor to Portugal, please. Constanza.
Hello. Good morning. Thanks a lot, Cecilia. Good morning, Duarte and Salma. I was listening very carefully, but one question, I think I don't have a full answer. We are right now in the middle of a democratic process. Democratically, we decided last week to have one candidate, a sort of primaries inside the 12 plus group. And democracy is one of the core value of our 12 plus group. And democracy, and one of the rules of the most important rule of the, or the prevalent rule of the decision-making process in democracy is the majority rule. So my blank question, if by majority we elect today one candidate of the 12 plus group, I think we should have, we as Democrats, we should respect this majority decision. So Duarte and Selma, if by majority, like in every democratic process, majority of the members of 12 plus group decide to have one candidate, you will withdraw your candidature and respect the majority of the willing of all the participants in our group, as it is proper in every democratic process. This is my blank question, and this is, I think, an answer of yes or no. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. And now over to Switzerland. And Mr. Feldman, please, the floor is yours.
Voilà, bonjour Cécilia.
Bonjour.
C'est en l'occurrence Laurent Verly, mais nous sommes ensemble avec ma collègue Feldman Riel dans la même salle. C'est pour ça que nous partageons une seule caméra, c'est donc pour, et un seul micro. Donc c'est pour ça que on s'adresse à vous. Nous avons tout d'abord des remerciements à adresser à toi, Cécilia. Merci beaucoup pour la très bonne gestion de ces différentes séances qui conduisent notre processus. Nous avions une remarque et une question. La remarque, elle vient d'ailleurs d'être évoquée par le Portugal. Il nous semblait que la question d'avoir un seul candidat des 12 plus avait déjà été réglée en notre sein et dans les discussions de la semaine dernière, considérant qu'avec un seul candidat, on renforce très clairement les chances d'avoir un élu des 12 plus à la tête de l'IUP, alors que si nous avons plusieurs candidats, le mode d'élection fait que nous allons perdre des voix et que peut-être une autre région pourrait clairement se retrouver à gagner cette élection. La question maintenant, comment se passe votre vision, à toi Salma et à toi Duarte, de la relation entre l'IUP et l'ONU? On sait que ces dernières années, il y a eu des hauts et des bas, et je pense qu'on doit chercher évidemment à être encore plus dans les hauts et dans la bonne relation avec l'ONU, mais est-ce que vous auriez quelques mots à nous dire sur vos intentions pour renforcer la relation entre l'IUP et l'ONU, pas seulement une relation d'amitié qui se passe très bien aujourd'hui, mais une relation qui va plus loin, c'est-à-dire vraiment d'impulsion et de dialogue parlementaire avec l'organisation de l'ONU. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you very much for that question and remarks. And also, I will let Franz have the floor now, Mr. Hubert, because then I don't have any more speakers on the list. I just make that announcement right now. So over to Franz, please.
Voilà. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Et désolé pour la tenue décontractée, mais j'ai attrapé le Covid, donc je suis à l'isolement chez moi. Et donc j'ai estimé que ce n'est pas la peine de se mettre en costume cravate quand on est enfermé chez soi. Mais rassurez-vous, je n'ai pas de symptômes. Je suis asymptomatique. Voilà. Non, moi je vais prendre la parole, mais pas longtemps, juste pour affirmer ce que d'autres ont dit. Je pense d'abord qu'il faut que effectivement notre groupe des 12 plus n'est qu'un seul candidat, et je crois qu'on s'était effectivement mis d'accord, comme ça a été dit déjà précédemment à notre précédente réunion. Donc c'est important évidemment que nous portions ensemble une candidature commune, et quel que soit effectivement que ce soit Duarte ou Salma, évidemment il faudra qu'on soit tous derrière lui ou derrière elle lorsqu'on aura choisi notre candidat. Je voudrais juste ajouter une chose, parce que nous aurons un candidat des 12 plus, et finalement, il ne faut pas que ça apparaisse comme le candidat un peu du club des riches, comme parfois les 12 plus peuvent apparaître, puisque à côté nous avons au fond des groupes régionaux, et on est le seul groupe qui n'est pas une entité régionale au sens où nous avons les pays européens, mais également le Canada, Israël, etc. Et je crois que c'est très important, évidemment, que que ce soit Duarte ou Salma, qu'on puisse porter le message que ce que nous défendons sont des valeurs universelles et qui, évidemment, peuvent être défendues par tous les pays des autres continents. Et je crois que ça, c'est un message très fort que nous devrons faire passer. Vous vous souvenez, quand j'avais effectivement porté une résolution à Belgrade en raison, effectivement, de l'intervention turque, et je le dis en transparence et à notre collègue turc qui est là également, c'est parce que nous estimions, c'était évidemment pas contre un pays en particulier, mais parce que nous estimions que là, il y avait effectivement une résolution à faire voter, même si nous n'étions pas tous d'accord entre nous. Voilà, donc je pense que c'est important. Moi, ma conception, c'est qu'il y a des valeurs universelles, mais qu'il faut faire toujours attention au relent de néocolonialisme qui peut y avoir derrière parfois la volonté de certains de dire universalité des valeurs, universalité des valeurs, et qu'il y a aussi des spécificités dans des pays, dans des cultures spécifiques qu'il faut prendre en compte, même si, encore une fois, on défend des valeurs universelles qui sont partagées par tous les continents, dans tous les pays. Voilà, donc je crois que ce message-là, il est important dans la candidature des 12+, pour pas faire apparaître cette candidature comme uniquement la candidature du club des riches, pardon, pour cette caricature.
Thank you very much from France and Hubert, and please get well as soon as you can. We hope to see you in better and working in the parliament soon again. Over to Duarte first, and then Salma to answer these three questions. And then I have more speakers now, so we try to be as short as possible. Mr. Duarte, please.
Thank you so much, dear colleague, for your questions. The first one from Portugal. My answer is yes, if Salma agree on the same issue, because the rules should be assumed by both of us. So, if she said yes...
Can I just interrupt, Mr. Duarte? Salma, you need to ask the question again so we have a picture on you again, because your picture is lost. So you request the floor, and then we can have a picture on you again. Sorry about that, Mr. Duarte.
Thank you.
So, yeah, thank you. Please continue.
Thank you. If we both assume that, I will respect the agreement. It's not needs to be written, because the most important is our word in politics and in my life. Second, about IPU and UN. Of course, we need to strengthen the relations between both organizations. I know that it's not possible to be as a treaty, international treaty, because we discuss it on the past, because if we need to have IPU, have a member of the UN as after international treaty, it will have the role of governments, and we don't know exactly how it will be in some parliaments that will have problems. We need to change constitutions and so on. We raised that problem once during the assembly, but it did not mean that we need to live coast to coast. No, we need to live face to face, working together, because governments and parliamentarians, we have the same worries, and the problems are global. And so if we all work, we are on the same boat. If we all work together, UN and IPU, in a collaboration, in a strong collaboration, it will be wonderful to all of us. Finally, France, of course, we need to say to share that our values are not the values of the rich against the poor. This is universal values. And I say, in this campaign, I talked maybe more with countries from other continents than from the 12+, because you know me, but some of them don't know me. And so I try to call and to speak with speakers and heads of delegations from Africa, from islands of Pacific, from Latin America. And I always try to say that we have same values. What we need to achieve is to have a better life to our people. And if it's possible to work together, we will achieve it. Not rich against poor, north against south, and so on. And that's why I had support from them, because they saw that a small country as Portugal can be their voice also in this organization. We can be from the north, but our links with the south are so strong that I can be the voice of them as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duarte. And over to Ms. Elma, please. The floor is yours.
Cecilia, I'm sorry, I speak four languages, but not French. So if you can just give me, I understand from what Duarte's answers, but if you could just tell me briefly about Switzerland's question and France, I would really appreciate that.
First from Switzerland, how will you work so the IPU and the UN will work together? Maybe a deeper dialogue and so forth. And from France, make sure that we are not seen as from the wealthy club, as it was translated, morally focus on the universal values.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, so in no response problem. To Portugal's question, you know what? I continue to say that I am a great believer in the democratic process. And we need to follow that. We need to practice what we preach. And I think we're setting a dangerous precedent when we pressurize one candidate to withdraw. I don't think this happens in any of the other groups. Not to my knowledge. In the last few elections, two elections that I have seen. I'm a great believer in democracy, and I think everyone should have the democratic right, if they want to put their name forward for something. And we who go preaching democracy to everyone, we need to practice it ourselves. And Switzerland's question for the IPU and the UN, of course, the IPU and the UN both have to work together, and as they have been, because the UN represents the governments of, the world, and the IPU represents the parliaments of the world, and the parliaments and government always work hand in hand. And we have seen some wonderful cooperation between the IPU and the UN. I have been many times to New York to conferences with the UN, and I see great support there, and they stand together. And I think that's what makes the IPU and the UN stronger, is that they support each other and they're willing to give each other space to talk. And I would be happy to see that conversation go further, and any way that we can grow our support, with the UN, I would be happy with that, and I would be willing to, take that forward. France asked a very, very important question. We talk about, it's funny because our language has changed. We used to talk about developed countries and developing countries. We no longer use that. And before that it was even third world countries. We no longer use that. We talk about high income countries and middle income countries and low income countries, because language is critical. And we have all seen that when there's a disaster, it is these countries. It's countries like France, it's countries like Canada, it's countries like UK, Germany, who come forward to help everyone in the world. And I think that message needs to resonate, that we're there, we help, and we will continue to help. And we will, everyone is a human being, and they need to be treated equally. And I think that those were old ideas of superiority. No, nobody believes that. And I definitely don't believe that. A human being is a human being, and we need to treat all human beings with dignity. And that's the message that should be there and should be conveyed.
Thank you, Ms. Selma. I have right now five speakers on the list, and I'm asking the speakers out there, please, I will soon think it's time for us to go into the next part of the process. So if you really need to ask or say something now, please put yourself on the list, and then I will close the list in a short while. I will try to put these in two groups. So we'll start with Finland first, and Ms. Healy, please, the floor is yours. No, she's not on the list anymore. So I'll go over to Canada. And Mr. Raymond, please, the floor is yours.
Excuse me, Cecilia.
Yeah, it was... there you are.
I'm Haley from Finland.
Yes, we start with Haley from Finland. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't see that.
Sorry for some technical troubles here. I only have a very short and practical question to Ms. Salma. As our candidate Duarte has very clearly said, he will leave his candidacy if he won't win the election today. I would like to hear about you, Salma. Are you going to do the same and respect the idea of one candidate from the 12 plus group if you will lose today? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Healy from Finland. And now over to Canada. And Mr. Raymond, please, the floor is yours.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make a comment first before asking my question. Going through a process such as today is not part of the 12 plus rules. And my recollection of our last meeting is that a vote was not taken at the meeting to endorse a single 12 plus candidate for the IPU presidency. It was a general observation, and the decision was based on no overt objections. This is, I think, an important nuance. My question now to both Duarte and Salma, and please give me a very, very concrete and practical answer. What will you do to bridge the ideological gaps on many fundamental issues, notably human rights, democracy, climate change, so fundamental gaps between the 12 plus countries and other regions and groups? Once again, please, I want actions and not views or opinions general. Merci.
Merci beaucoup from Canada. Thank you very much. And now over to Australia. And Mr. Smith, please, the floor is yours.
Can you...
Yes, I hear you.
No, that's good. Look, at the last meeting, I stated very clearly on behalf of the Australian delegation that we felt we would be better placed to be unified and have a single candidate. We spent a considerable amount of time on that subject. It might be true that we didn't vote, but I don't resile from the view that was put on behalf of the Australian delegation at that point in time. Thank you.
Thank you very much from Australia. And now give the floor to the candidates for a short while. And then I have one more speaker. Okay, so we do the speakers first. Sorry about that, candidates. You fill your list. We go over to Turkey and Ms. Ravaza, please.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Cecilia, and to both candidates for all the feedback and information. My colleague from Portugal said some very nice things about democracy. But democracy also, it is the rule of majority, that is right, but there should also be inclusiveness, and everyone should have a right to be a part of free and fair elections. So I do not know if at the end of the at the end of this vote, which I think I opposed from the beginning. We opposed as the Turkish delegation that there should be a vote, whether there should be a single candidate. But that was one of our objections at the last meeting. But it should. Would you believe, as the 12 plus group, if we would be giving a good message if one candidate comes out as the winner and the other doesn't want to resign? Are we going to force that candidate to withdraw from candidacy. Would that be considered as a majority tyranny? Tyranny of majority, to put it more forward. So I just wanted to put that out to both candidates. And Hubert, I hope you get well soon. Our prayers are with you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you from Turkey. And my last speaker right now is from Portugal. Mr. Hugo, please, the floor is yours.
Hello, good morning to everyone. Firstly, I would like to address my compliments to both candidates. And as you can see, I'm from Portugal. I know very well Duarte, so especially I address my compliments also to him for this this challenge he decided to face. So I would like to put three questions to both candidates. Considering the situation that we are all living in the world with a pandemic crisis, do you think that IPU can help address more expression to countries facing more difficult with this crisis? We know that everyone is talking about when the vaccine can appear to the world. And we also know that probably countries, poorest countries, can have more difficulties having this vaccine. So what do you think that, for example, IPU can help giving more expression to these countries? And another question is related with this situation of having two candidates in our group. Of course, I can also say that Duarte is very democratic, and I believe that Salma also is. So what I hear from Duarte is that if both candidates agree on the same platform of understanding, I think that both can follow the same way. So if one wins, the other can withdraw, or on the half and on the other way around. So this is democracy. If they face the same challenge and if they agree on the same platform of understanding, probably they will follow this understanding. If no, they are, of course, free to follow their own way. So I understand the questions that are being presented to this meeting. And I also believe that whatever will be the result in the end, I hope that for the IPU group, our group, we can have expression of our views on the needs that we have to defend on our world. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And now over to the candidates. And I will, after the candidates now have given their answers to these questions, have one more round of questions, and then I will close the list because I'm looking at the watch right now too. So please, Ms. Selma first.
Thank you very much. And in response to Finland, I'll stress again, I believe in democracy, and I think everyone should be given equal opportunity. That's what democracy is about. And I would also like to know, is it in with the rules of the 12 plus that they only field one candidate? I thank Turkey for, you know, their intervention. And, you know, we talk about democracy and democratic processes, and I think we shouldn't be afraid of democratic processes. You know, if we're running good candidates, they should be able to stand up on their own strength and let, you know, the greater IPU, parliaments take that decision. To Portugal regarding, the COVID vaccine, we could learn cross-country learnings about COVID, but we also need to look outside the 12 plus countries, because some of the other countries have had great success in combating the COVID, where
you know, their cases have been low. Specifically, if you look at Africa, you can see, you know, innovations that Ghana has used, where drones are delivering tests, and you know, Vietnam, you know, they had more than 700 district level CDCs and more than 11,000 community health centers, and they all were doing tracing, contact tracing. So, you know, it's an unusual time. We are seeing a pandemic for the first time in our lives. And, you know, we're still in the learning process about COVID. And we're hoping that the vaccine will come. I know that China vaccinated a whole city the other day, and we're just waiting to see how that goes. But we can all work on this together across the world and learn from each other.
Thank you, Ms. Selma. And over to Mr. Duarte.
Thank you so much, dear colleagues, for your questions. First of all, from Finland, from Portugal, from Turkey, I found some question about democracy and about to have one candidate on the, also from Australia or from other countries. And I will say, we are Democrats. And so I never will accept an imposition. And what we are talking about is it is not an imposition. That the candidate that will not win has the obligation to withdraw. No, this is not an imposition. It's a voluntary action, may I say. Because during the last 4 years, as a chair of 12 Plus, we had this discussion several times, as you remember. People may be elected from us, and after it, they go to some positions to defend ideas and not to defend what the group approve. And we said it is not fair. And so I need to be coherent with this position. If I am not the if I don't have the support of the 12 plus, I not feel free to be a candidate of the 12 plus. That's why I said it. But the rules should be assumed by both candidates, not just by one. That's why I said, if Salma accepts this, I will say, if she wins today, I will withdraw. Because the most important thing to our group is to have one candidate and one president that defend our values, our common values. And so this is democracy, because this is not an imposition. This is an agreement between us that who will represent us should have the support of the group. Second, the question about COVID-19 and about this crisis. Yes, the pandemic crisis creates a bigger gap between developed and undeveloped countries. Because now what we saw, what we see, is developed countries to buy a lot of vaccines, to may I say a big lot of vaccines, and the other countries don't have the money to do that. But the vaccines should not be just for one; should be to everyone. And I think that we need to work with OMS to find a solution to have, as always, that to fight the pandemics is not something that should be just a part of the world that are available to do it. All the world, because we are talking about human beings, and a human being in Africa has same value of a human being in Europe or in America. And so we need to work together to find a way to spread the vaccine to all continents and to especially to countries that don't have money enough to buy it right now.
Cecilia. Yes, Cecilia. Ms. Salma? Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot to ask, respond to Canada's question. I apologize for that because I was trying to write as fast as I could. But so Canada asked about working with, the other groups. I have to tell you that I have throughout my history with the IPU engaged with all the other regions, whether it's on the Bureau of Women Parliamentarians or whether it was writing the report on the maternal, newborn and child health, where I had Uganda and India as co-rapporteurs. So I've worked with them. I've proved that in my capacity as Goodwill Ambassador for the maternal, newborn, child health. I have been to conferences where I have opened the conferences. I went to Bangladesh where we looked at violence in Asia Pacific against women. I think even on the floor, you will see me interacting. I'm there talking to, different people, talking to women, talking to young parliamentarians. I chair many meetings for the IPU, and I've been a rapporteur for them. And when we did that survey on the harassment of female MPs, I was one of the ones who was chosen to go and do the interview with the BBC. I have a lot of support. Duarte mentioned that he's got support. I too have a lot of support, from other countries who have reached out to me. And the thing is this, that this question of democracy keeps coming up, but there seems to be some opposition in this very group as we're talking to the idea of having one candidate. And we talk about rules. I would like to know if this is a rule in the 12 plus. But, and to Canada, my, history with the human rights is well known. I've been on the Human Rights Committee ever since I was appointed in 2010. I've been vice chair. The Human Rights Committee has done many, many of my studies, and I will be the next chair of the Human Rights Committee. And I have that commitment. And I think in Canada and internationally, I am known for my stance on human rights.
Cecilia.
Thank you very much, Cecilia, Mr. Please. Duarte. Yes?
Sorry, because I didn't answer also the question of Canada. This is not something against Canada, of course, but because we both passed from Finland to Turkey, and we forget it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But I need to say that, of course, we have common. I know that for us, democracy and human rights, for instance, are universal values. But we understand that in some parts of the world, they are not accepted as we see, as we feel it. And what is important is to defend them, to talk about them, but not to impose them. Because if we go to impose how is democracy works in some countries, we can not achieve what we wish. This is something that by learning by doing, may I say, that showing that this is a better world and a better society if our values are accepted in all continents and this continent as well. And we did it during last years, and I think we should to do it more and more in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I will now close the list for speakers. I have one more speaker to go, and after that we have had over 20 speeches from nearly 20 countries during this discussion. And I would now let the floor to Mr. Bladan from Serbia, and then I will conduct the next part of the meeting. Mr. Bladan, please. I see you don't. I don't hear you. There we go. Thank you. Microphone. I see you. I don't hear you. So there are two buttons, one camera, one microphone. Mr. Bladen? No? Maybe he will try again. If you want to try again, you need to request. Yes, he will. He's trying again. Okay. See how it works. Over to Serbia. No, I don't see you. I don't hear you. Okay, one more try. I don't see you. I don't hear you. Maybe just try the microphone, not the video. No. I don't hear you. I don't see you. Sorry about that. Now let's see. We're trying with somebody else here. Now I hear a sound.
Do you hear me now?
Yes, Bladen, please. Ah. The floor is yours.
Okay, so... Yes, I will be then very brief. It's nice to see you, if not in person, but at least like this. I would just like to remind you on the situation that we had 3 years ago in St. Petersburg when we were choosing the candidate from Gruluk, and we had the candidate from Uruguay and Mexico. And from what I remember, we didn't interfere in the rule that a region proposes their candidate, and we chosen between the Uruguay and Mexico. And now we have a situation that this unwritten rule is not respected, and therefore we have this voting today. And I am not pleased with the situation that we have, because the unwritten rules are as good as written rules in most of the democratic countries. And I'm very sorry that we have this situation now. And I believe that today voting is about giving a stronger message from 12 plus. What do we stand for? And that is the only reason that we have this voting today. In the different circumstances, I would be very pleased that we have Selma and Duarte and another candidate, but this is how it is, and we are in this situation today, and therefore we are voting for this today, because I believe this way we get a stronger message for the rest of the IPO, and that would be all. Sorry for this misunderstanding about the microphone. And greetings from me and Professor Mijatović. Okay, bye.
Thank you very much from Serbia. And that was the last person on the requested speakers list. I will now give a couple of minutes each for each candidate. And after that, we conclude this part of the meeting. So first to Ms. Selma, please. The floor is yours. A couple of minutes.
Thank you very much. And it was nice to see my friend from Serbia. And if I remember correctly, last year around these days, we were having a great time in Belgrade, the beautiful city of Belgrade. And I remember their hospitality. I agree, it's unusual times. But again, you know, democracy should exist, and nothing should hold, you know, the democratic processes back. You know, if we have six candidates or seven candidates, if your candidate is strong enough, you know, we should be willing to put our names forward, and we should be willing to stand up to scrutiny. We should be able to, you know, put our name out there. And UK gave us a very good example of the chances of a candidate winning when you have four candidates instead of three. And I think nobody's really paying attention to that. So, you know what, people will ultimately believe what they want to believe. And I thank everyone for their intervention. And I thank everyone, you know, for taking the time to join us and express their views, for which I'm grateful.
Thank you, Ms. Selma and Mr. Duarte.
Thank you so much. Our colleagues from Serbia, it's always a pleasure to see you. And yes, you point the real point. You talk about the real point. If we have just candidates from the 12 plus because the other geopolitical groups accept the rotation between geopolitical groups, we don't need to have this meeting. We may have this meeting to know a little bit more each other, to talk about the projects of each candidate, but not to choose. But this is not true. What we will have is a candidate from Asia, and another from Euro-Asia, and because they didn't respect the rotation. And what will be the strongest position of the 12 plus is to present one more than one. I think that is more easy to win if we join our efforts to elect a candidate from the 12 plus. And if you believe that I am that person, I will be very glad to have the support of the 12 plus to have the presidency of IPU and there to share the values of the 12 plus in all IPU. Thank you so much.
Cecilia, can I ask you a question, please?
Please.
Cecilia, we at the last meeting we discussed about reaching out to the countries who were not following this unwritten rule about putting candidates forward. Did the 12 plus get in touch with them and let them know that about how we felt about their candidacy? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Salma, and thank you for asking that question. That's how I started the meeting today, to recall what we did decide last meeting. I also started to tell you about the letter that has been written and sent to the IPU. I also told you that we have asked to conduct a video conference between the chairs of the regional groups to discuss this in the short run. This is now being discussed in the secretariat because of that letter and because of our decision. And in the long term, I said, of course, now it's up to the executive committee to look at this issue for the rotation system for the longer run. And for the four of us who are in the executive committee, of course, we have to follow this up during the coming meetings that will follow. Can we do it even more clearer than today? Because it's told in the statutes, but maybe not as clear as we ask for. So what we decided last meeting, we have, of course, continued to do. And I co-signed that letter because Duarte is a candidate in this race. So thank you very much. We have now had over 20 speakers with nearly 20 countries. And thank you very much for your questions and remarks. A big thank you to the two candidates. We have two brilliant candidates from the 12 plus. We are very glad for that and for your very good and clear answers. We respect all the opinions that have been told, but we also respect the majority decision that was taken last time with at least as many people on the speakers list. And it was very clear during the meeting where the majority was within the group. And that's why we have this meeting today. I will conclude it like that. Otherwise, I will repeat so many things that's already been said. And I'm looking at the watch too, and noting that we have a few minutes left to go to conclude this meeting. I will now open the voting for the candidates. And you have in your cell phones, most of you, got a link where you can vote. You also have a PIN code, and that makes sure that this is a secret ballot. It's a separate voting system, and the voting system will allow voting now for about 20 minutes. And right now, that will be about 5 minutes till 2 o'clock Central Eastern Time. So 20 minutes from now. And in about 15 minutes, I will check with the technicians if there are enough votes, so to say. Otherwise, I will ask you please to go ahead and vote more and make sure that you have voted, so to say. We open it up to start with for 20 minutes. If needed, I will extend that voting to make sure there are as many as possible that actually are able to vote. We respect those that will obtain. I have heard that during the meeting. But otherwise, I hope as many as people that are now online will vote. So 20 minutes from now, please do your voting. And I will come back here in about 10 till 2 and make sure that we have a vote. So they are just asking me to wait 1 minute. Yeah, well, people are going to look where their links are and the PIN code. So in 1 or 2 minutes, the link is open. If it's not open yet, please wait another minute. But 20 minutes until now, so that's 5 minutes till 2. I'll be back here by the computer about 10 till 2 and make sure that we have a high percentage of voting among those 43 countries that are registered for today. And I will also try to find a room where I don't have so much sun in Sweden as I have right now. I've heard that it's a lot of light over here. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, for those who have the sound on, now the voting system should be open. And for those who you have tried before, it was not open before, but now it is open. So please go in and vote now. From now, the voting system is open. So just try again. They just opened the voting system. I was a little too quick. I'm too sorry to say. Okay? Please vote. Okay, so we have now been voting for about 20 minutes, and as you can see in the chat, they are still working on a couple of delegations. So we wait a couple of minutes more to make sure that everybody that wants to vote is able to vote. So we'll be back soon. For those who are waiting, we need to wait a few more minutes, but I am told so far we have 68 votes out of the 79 that are registered, which is a very high percentage. But I do understand that there are a couple of more delegations that would like to vote that are asking for help. So we wait for them before we finish the voting. So a few more minutes for the technicians to do their job, and a little more waiting. Thank you very much. So, friends and colleagues, as I have now. Okay. So there is a couple more to vote. Sorry about that. We are up to 69 MPs that have voted in this process, and we are expecting a couple of more votes now in a minute or so, is what I'm told right now. So we are getting there. That's why I'm letting the voting stay a bit open another couple of minutes to make sure that everyone that wants to vote have voted. I can see some people that now in the chat are pleased with the voting, but I know there is a couple more that would like to vote. So another couple of minutes. Thank you. Okay, I just would like to inform you where we're at. Since there are so many colleagues that actually did this in 20 minutes, we have a percentage of 89% now that have voted, and that's 70 MPs that have voted. There is, as I understand it now, one that would like to vote left, and we are waiting for that for a couple of more minutes. Otherwise, the conduction of the voting has gone smoothly. As you recall, there were a couple of MPs that mentioned they were going to abstain, and there could be some people that haven't actually voted, that doesn't want to vote. But are we on a percentage of 89? Now we're up to 90%. I have 71 MPs now that have voted. It's a very high percentage. So I'll give it a couple of minutes more for the delegation that actually asked for help now. And after that, I will close the voting. And sorry about that, but we are trying to be as respectful for everybody here as possible. So hopefully in a couple of minutes, we will know a little bit more. Thank you. I do like this. Then please listen, 12 plus group. We have 71 votes right now. It's 90% of the percentage of the registered voters that, you know, was a couple of days ago. We have no questions right now asking for any troubles or anything like this. And if I don't have any more requests of problems out there, I think, okay, I'm still, okay. Technicians are working all the time. That's good. That's good. They are very keen on that. I will soon close the voting because it seems like it's one person left now that would like to vote. So we'll let that person vote. So one more minute or so, and then we are up to 72 votes then, I guess, which will be a little more than 90% of the registered voters from the 43 countries that was registered out of the 47. So there you have all the numbers I have so far from some good technicians down in Portugal doing a great job. We are so pleased. So one or two more minutes then, wait for the last vote to get in there. Thank you very much, all participants within the 12 plus group. I will in 1 minute now end the voting. So I give it 60 more seconds from this on. The technicians down in Portugal hear me saying that now. I have now 72 votes, which is 91% out of the registered 12 plus participants from 43 countries that was registered this meeting. We have no call right now on anybody having any technical problems or issues. So I have closed the voting now for about, it's about 30 seconds until then. I guess it will take us a few more minutes to before we get the result. But I would like to start with to thank all the technicians, the protocol, the staff down in the Parliament of Portugal and the technicians on the Kudos system and everybody who has been very so helpful. They have been calling around all delegations that haven't voted, have got a phone call to make sure that they didn't want to vote. So there has been so much more correspondent than we don't know of. And of course, the 12 plus group needs to thank the secretariat, the protocol, the parliament, the technicians, and everybody involved in this process to make it as transparent, as open, as clear as possible. So everybody that really wanted you to participate this time have participated. And there could be other reasons for not participating, of course. 91% is a very high percentage in a vote. And that took us, you know, nearly 40 minutes, as Ulrich just told me. Thank you. And also, I would like to thank the candidates, of course, to being involved in this process for the 12 plus group. We are so happy. We have two brilliant candidates for this race. And that is, of course, very important that you wanted to participate and do all this effort for the 12 plus group. We are so thankful for that. And during the time when we wait for the result, I just remind you the next 12 plus meeting is on next Monday, the 26th. And on that is all the items for the Governing Council a week later. I can also make a reminder that on Wednesday this week at 2 p.m. Central Eastern Time is the IPU hearing for the president candidates. You can find that on the IPU webpage for those who are interested in that. And that was all the announcements I had, so to say, before I get the results. And I see nothing else there. So we'll just sit and wait for the results. And I guess I get that through an email or something. I'll just assume that. Okay, so I have now got an email from the technicians, and I'm now going to share the screen, hopefully, if I may do so. Let's see if I have any, you know, you try your best here. And that one. Let's see if I have any more. Kudo app was like this the last time too. I'm doing my best here. I can of course read it, but I'm gonna try to do if I will go straight. There we go. So here is the result. I hope you see that now from the voting. You have Mr. Duarte, 60 votes. Mrs. Helma, 10 votes. Blank ballots, 2 votes. And other votes. And therefore, I conclude after this voting that the preferred candidate of the 12 plus is Mr. Duarte. And also the decision from the 12 plus group is to campaign for that preferred candidate and also to vote for that preferred candidate. And thank you very much for today. Congratulations on both your participation. And congratulations, Duarte, to do this, let's say. Thank you. So that was the result, and that was the end of this meeting. And I don't know if Mr. Duarte wants to have a word or say something.
Thank you so much. I don't see it on the screen.
Oh, do you want me to share again? I'll do that. Okay. I thought I did. I didn't share. I didn't. Oh, okay. I'll do it again.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Cecilia. And thank you, dear colleagues. Especially, I think it's a honor to represent you in this contest. I do all the best to represent the values we have in common and to win this election. As I said in the beginning, after when we win, it will not be an election and a winning of Duarte Pacheco of Portugal. It will be a victory of our group, of our values, and I will try for, at the presidency of IPU to defend it until the end of my mandate. Believe me, and with your support, I am strong now to defend the values of democracy, human rights, the values that 12 plus share and defend inside IPU. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thank you also, as I said to Selma, thank you very much for today. And next meeting with the 12 plus is in next Monday. So we see you in next Monday. Thank you very much.